The following program is meant for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the host and the callers are not necessarily those of the management or staff of WBNJ or WWN Educational Radio Corporation. Consult your mechanic before trying any advice given by the Twin Cams, Sal and Frank Santola on Riptide Rollers.
And now get ready for WBNJ's Riptide Rollers with twin brothers and automotive professionals, Sal and Frank Santola. The automotive call-in show that naturally begs the question,
what were you thinking calling these guys for help?
Sal and Frank are the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust, ready to help you and your car troubles. Riptide Rollers is on the air.
Hello, everyone out there in Radio Land.
Hello, all you Riptiders.
Riptide Rollers coming back at you for another great show. Sal and Frank Santola, the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust, coming back at you for another exciting Riptide Rollers Automotive Radio Show.
It's time for a little explanation of our show to people who are, you know, the thousands of people that are joining us for the first time, you know.
Thousands.
So, yes, this is an automotive radio show. We call it Riptide Rollers. And this is obviously coming to you at 91.9 WBNJ on your FM dial. And we're here with our executive producer, William Clanton Jr. Say hello, Bill.
Hello, Bill.
There you go.
Of course, I usually tell Sal that no one has a radio dial anymore.
Yeah, I know.
It's usually a button, maybe a couple of buttons, up or down.
And because we're twins, we call ourselves the Twin Cams, intake and exhaust. So there you have it.
Bill, you have some old radios around here with dials on them.
I do. Yeah, I have a small collection of old Philcos.
Yeah, yes. It's really, really cool.
You know, a guy's still collecting tubes, right? Yeah, that's like a big thing, you know.
Yeah.
Those old vacuum tubes, whatever you call them. Yeah.
They're hard to come by. Yeah. And you know, it's like, yeah, I could take the radios and I could, you know, bring them up, you know, retrofit them to modern technology and stuff. But why?
Right.
You know, it, as long as I can still receive AM broadcasts on these old Philcos, and as long as the tubes, you know, hang in there, you know.
A friend of mine had a old amp, and he swore that, you know, tubes, you know, and he swore that the sound he got out of it was like a softer sound, you know.
Richer.
Yeah.
Richer,
yeah.
Sound coming out of the tube amplifier, without a doubt.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. How about that? I didn't know that. That's really cool.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, but these tubes are sought after, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
I'm in the wrong business.
Well, this is Riptide Rollers coming at you with tube-style engineering here.
Wow. So, we're going to give some info to our listeners here. Our phone number is 732-428-4482. Again, that's 732-428-4482. If you want to leave us a message or talk to us, usually, obviously, about automotive topics, but any kind of story you have, question, concern, our email is thetwincams@comcast.net. And please like us on Facebook. We are on Facebook.
That's right. Please,
we've been
like
doing this
us
for
on Facebook
quite a few years now.
Yeah.
I think so.
4 or 5.
We're approaching 5 years.
Wow.
I see some old postings on Facebook, memories or whatever.
It's always reminding me.
I'm like counting the years now. I'm like, oh, wow. So how's it going, Bill? How you doing?
Things are good, you know, as far as the automotive front. But I actually got to, you know, what's nice about working on older vehicles is the fact that sometimes you end up having to do something you've never done before.
Right.
And so in this particular case, I've been chasing down this starve for fuel issue and started working backwards from the filter. And, you know, so filter's replaced and then, you know, got the lines on and then changed the fuel pump. And I still was having some issues, but turns out after all was said and done, cleaned out the fuel line, I ended up with a pinhole in the fuel line.
Interesting.
It was one of the things that I found. So getting a replacement fuel line for an 84 pickup was a very tough search. Mm-hmm. So I figured, do I go to a junkyard and try to find one that might also have some age on it, or do I manufacture one?
Manufacture.
I manufactured one. Right. So there I was in the parts store, and I got myself a long piece of line. And I bought all the tools for bending and crimping and all that. And I sat there in the middle of my front lawn with the old one, and I just kept lining it up and bending. And and you know what? When I when all was said and done, I got the whole thing done. It fit, and it screwed right in line with the pump, right up to the carburetor.
My father taught me a little trick about lines years ago, making them, particularly when you have to bend them. And you put a spring on the line that, you know, preferably just fits so that the line goes inside, obviously, this spring. So that when you bend it, the spring keeps the line from kinking.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, it's a very cool idea. And it works well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah.
So in my case, I got the tools that prevented it from kinking. Right. And then I got all the... Now I got some fancy tools. So if you need any lines done, I'm your guy.
Yeah, you got the neighbors. There's that guy, Bill, working on that truck still. It looks like he's working on a fuel line.
Well, Bill, you knock yourself out. No.
Oh, and a sidebar.
Yeah.
I did fix the starter issue. I don't know if you guys remember way back, I was having a problem with the starter grinding.
Yes.
All I did was I bought a brand new starter, went AC Delco, not necessarily to endorse any specific brand, but I ended up going back to, it's a GM
original
car, original equipment, AC Delco, put it on, and with no shims, it was practically perfect. So now I have to get back under it, drop it down, and just one thin shim should do it, because it's like every third turn, it's smacking into the flywheel.
A little tight.
Yeah. What's the gear called? The
starter dog.
The flywheel against and then
But the starter. There is another name for it, and then it's eluding me once again. Anyway. Yeah, that's where I'm at right now. So
very good. So we have a caller on the line. Mike, you there?
Hey, yes, I'm here.
Hey, Mike, how's it going? Thanks for joining us, Mike Tin.
No problem.
Where do you live anyway?
I live in Rahway.
Oh, very good. I didn't even know that. But yeah. You had an interesting situation happen to your vehicle recently, and I wanted you to share that. So, and what kind of car is this again? I don't even recall.
It's a Honda CRV.
Oh, yes, yes,
2013. Yes, yes. Right. Honda CRV 2013. Right. Yes. So about 2 weeks ago, we had like a major storm, like on a Saturday. It was raining pretty bad. And my friend, you know, his mother was in town. And he wanted to go visit his mom, you know, so let him took the car. And so as he was driving, you know, it was pretty much in Newark. So that's where his mom is, Newark, New Jersey. So, and while he was driving, so we came upon, you know, like a road, didn't really see much. It was like an industrial road. So he just kind of drove through, and then, the car got kind of submerged because he thought it was just like a small puddle, but it was not a small puddle. So the car immediately just stopped.
You know, the problem is that especially some vehicles will fool you. You know, the CRV is obviously like a little SUV, and you get the false impression that sometimes that you're sitting up a little bit higher than, first of all, you really are, and secondly, the air intake, you know, that's pulling into the engine is set down lower, and so it's very easy to, you know, even though you think that, you know, you're going through this little flood, you're pulling in water through that air intake and sucking it up into the engine, and that could do some serious damage. Yeah.
I know. Yeah. So one of the things that he did, that he told me, finally admitted to me, that the first thing that he did, he put it in reverse and tried to go back. So I'm assuming that the intake...
It would actually, some of it would come out to a certain extent, but the thing is that, you know, obviously as your engine is running, you know, it is still pulling, it is still sucking, so even in reverse, you know, it... You know, you've stopped that forward momentum.
Yeah, it doesn't matter once you suck that water into the engine.
Right, right, yeah. And interesting is we had a caller one time on, and we were talking about flood victims. And interestingly enough, it happened in Newark.
In Newark, yeah.
Yeah. There's something about Newark and low-lying areas, I suppose.
I think a lot of roads over there, it is low-lying, I think. Right. And I think a lot of roads dip down and come back up. So you're looking at this puddle, and you're looking at the road on the other side of the puddle, and everything seems level, and you're thinking you could just drive straight through. You don't realize that you're going to go down a couple feet, you know, and come back up.
Yeah.
So, Mike, I got to share a story I did one time, and it was actually in Rahway, and it was after a really bad rain. And there was one area that was flooded, and I had a little Audi stick shift car.
And he's probably aware of the area.
It might be. It's around the Leesville Avenue area. And
The bridge, right?
I guess that's the railroad bridge. And, it dips way down and floods there very badly. And so I have this little stick shift Audi one time, and the guy's there with a front end loader, and he's trying to clear the drains down underneath the flood. And, you know, it's like a little lake, actually. And he yells to me, "Forget it." He's yelling from his machine. It's at least 6 feet, you know. So I said, you know, I look at my friend who's in the car with me. I actually back the car up a little bit, get myself some steam, build up some steam. And I put in first, rev it up. Boom, I hit this flood. Well, the water came over the windshield. The car was actually floating, you know, and it had conked out.
No.
And now there's all people around watching this, you know. And my friend and I look at each other. We both like, oh, you know. But what had happened is that we actually floated across the flood to the other side, and I could feel my wheels hit. So because it was a stick shift car, I used the I kept like popping the clutch, and I actually pulled myself out of the flood, shoved my foot to the gas pedal onto the floor, kept cranking it. The car started up, probably pushed all kinds of water and crap, and then off I went. So I actually made it across.
Oh my God.
And I'm telling the listeners, do not attempt this.
Do not attempt to do that. Right. Sal's the reason why at that site now they have these big markers with the levels, 1 foot, 2 foot, 3 foot.
Yeah, you know. It's true. They didn't have that until after I did that. Then they put.
And it goes up to,
but
know,
I tell you what, everybody's
feet.
Probably so surprised to see me drive off, you know. That was crazy. But here's the thing that's interesting, too, is, you know, Mike, we've seen this happen time and time again, and it's happened with my own vehicles. It seems like these things always happen when you lend your vehicle to somebody. It's a craziest thing, right? You lend your people, and all they wanted to do is go to the store and come back, and all of a sudden they come back and tell you, hey, you know, this light is on, or your tire's going down, or, you know, it never fails, you know, every time you lend your car to somebody. Like I said, and
that's why I drive crap.
Nobody wants to borrow it.
That's why, I learned my lesson because even before that.
So you wound up...
You guys had... patch up the tire because I lent my car to my friend.
Right.
Same friend, you know. I was like, oh yeah, you could go somewhere and then come back. I said, why is the tire flat?
Yeah, there you go. There you go. And I was just using that as an example, right? There you go.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So what happened with your vehicle is it became hydro-locked.
Right.
Your spark plugs had to get removed and, you know, the water had to be like pushed out of the engine.
Yep.
So it would spin over again.
And that's pretty serious. I mean, we've seen severe engine damage.
Yeah,
from, you know, hydraulic from that
motor.
So
you got lucky.
Yeah. But
I mean, it was pretty lucky because the car was right at the door level, and then he freaked out and he tried to push it backward, going in neutral, pushing backward, and then luckily there was an 18-wheeler came along.
Right.
18-wheeler came along, and then he had straps. So he somehow convinced the people, the truck driver, to pull him out. So to pull them out and pull them to the side of the street, you know. And the first thing that they did was, I think I learned this, the first thing that they did was try to jump the car.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a big no-no.
Right. If you had enough water in there and they were able to force it to go, in a sense, they could have really done some damage there.
But we didn't know what was happening to the car,
right.
So we just...
But I would never take somebody's car.
Left it the next day.
Honestly. Well, and that was probably the best thing could have happened, because some of that water will kind of dissipate into the engine oil, which isn't the greatest thing, but at least it's less apt to hydrolock, as my brother says. If I was borrowing somebody's car, I'd be so careful. I would definitely not be trying to go through a flood that was going to be up to the doors, no less, you know. But
the lesson learned here, just for the listeners, is, of course, you got to be cautious when you see a large puddle and you wonder just how deep it is.
Right.
But don't be taken in by the mechanic telling you now that your engine is no good because it's locked up.
Mm.
The water gets in, and the water locks up the engine.
That's right.
And in this case, the spark plugs are able to be removed.
Yep.
You go to crank it over. I mean, water's shooting out of the engine all over the place, hitting the hood, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
but you get it spinning, you get all that water out,
yep.
And usually it'll start back up again. Maybe put a fresh set of spark plugs in if necessary. But... And they got to check, of course, the air filter, because when the intake pulled in all that water, it saturated the air filter.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You know, you pull out the air filter, you pull out the spark plugs. I mean, this is something that some people could just do at home, depending on the design. And just don't be fooled by thinking because you hit that key and it won't turn.
Right.
And it's turning just a fractions of an inch and it's right. Seems to be locked up. That the motor's no good. That's right. Not necessarily the case.
Yep. Well, Mike, thank you for that. Thank you for joining us.
You guys, you guys saved my car. You guys really did, because it's running great right now. So
very good. I'm glad we were.
It's not bad, actually.
I'm glad we were able to help.
And this wraps up another episode of What Not to Do with Your Car on Riptide Rollers.
Yeah. I'll never do that again.
Yeah. And lending. Yeah, like I lent a truck to somebody one time, and no sooner they left, it's like 20 minutes later, hey, you know, you're... brake fluid, something's going wrong, and the light's on, and the pedal's going to the floor, and like, God, I use this thing like all the time. It's never a problem. Like, you know, this guy's got it for 15 minutes, and you know, so yeah.
Hey, some vehicles don't
gotta
like other drivers driving. They, right. You know, you drive a certain way,
yeah.
You accelerate a certain way, you brake a certain way, you steer a certain way.
There's definitely something to
right.
be said about that.
There is, exactly.
Very good, very, Mike. Thank you very much.
Thank you. That was
thank
great.
You very much.
We'll talk to you.
Yeah, what yeah. not to do
right.
with your car.
Yeah. And that, like I said, that's happened to me, it seems like a few times already, that, you know, different vehicles, you know. Hey, did you ever notice that problem? No, I never noticed. Right, there was nothing. Right, my exhaust was not dragging the ground. Right. I was like, yeah.
Usually, I kid around, but, nobody wants to borrow my car. Yeah. They're crap, but when I do lend a car out and something like that does happen, I don't really care as much because the car isn't really worth that much or whatever. It's just my beater back and forth to work. But
I
do notice that every time I get it back, right.
It's something.
Check engine lights on, ABS lights on, you know, like what else is going to go wrong with this thing?
But and certainly with floods, you got to be very careful. You don't want to, you don't want to really drive through a flood, and certain SUVs and things that you think you've got the ground clearance. Yeah, you're still going to maybe suck in water depending on where the air intake is. And
the air intakes are usually very low.
Yeah, set down low.
Somewhere below the battery or something, they hide it, and, you know, that's pulling in the water kind of low. You know, the thing to do, too, is when you approach a large flooded area is to look at perhaps the vehicles that are parked on the side to see where the water level is, or to see if, you know, you could see any signs of the curb or anything like that. You know, if all that's out of view and you see water is like halfway up people's tires or
too
something.
Too risky.
Right. It's very risky to do that.
Very good. So we're going to take a break.
Yeah.
When we come back, we'll take a emailer.
Very good.
The Twin Cans have more questions to answer and advice for you coming up on the Riptide Rollers, 91.9 WBNJ.
Okay, we are running a car drive right now to help veterans all across America. So if you have an old car, truck, or van, even a motorcycle or an RV sitting around, you can right now give it away and help the vets. They really need your help. And your car will help support the vets and their families. And guess what? You even get a tax donation. Plus, we'll even come and pick up your car for free. And all you've got to do is pick up your phone right now and make a free call. Now is the perfect time to do something good for the vets. Give back to the vets right now for all they've done for this country. And your old car can really help them. So call the Veterans Car Donation Program right now for free pickup of your vehicle. Help the vets and help your taxes at the same time. Call right now.
800-729-1241. 800-729-1241. 800-729-1241. That's 800-729-1241.
Welcome back to Riptide Rollers, on air at 91.9 WBNJ and online at WBNJ.org. Here's the Twin Cans, intake and exhaust.
And we are back.
We are back.
And we have an email from Dave from Barnegat, actually. And he puts it here, a late model Camry. And he's never had the tires rotated. And he now has about 16,000 miles. And he has a concern as to, is it too late to rotate the tires? Like, will there be some adverse effect in now rotating the tires because he waited a bit too long? That's an interesting question. I mean, I would say on a late model car like that, you know, the chances of alignment being out or anything, you know, I would say no. No, it definitely, even though it's lot longer than you should have gone with rotating tires, you should rotate them anyway. I don't recall ever a situation. Now, the only thing is that maybe you'd want to rebalance the tires. I suppose that wouldn't be the worst thing. I mean, 16,000 miles, you know, maybe you'd want to do that or something like that when you're rotating.
Yeah, I don't see
where
it could hurt to rotate the tires.
No, right.
The edges could have gotten a little beat up or something.
I guess he was concerned, should I just leave it alone now at this point? Is it too late kind of thing, you know?
No, I don't see that. In fact, sometimes certain different things happen with the wear of a tire that's not so good, and you put it on the back, and it seems to straighten itself out a little bit. So sometimes you could correct some minor things that are going wrong with tires by rotating. So
yeah,
that's always a... It's always a good idea to do it until the tires perhaps are shot. In other words, there is a point where it's just not worth rotating.
Right.
Because the tires, of course, got too beat up in the front. You know, save your money.
Yeah.
You know, just put the new tires back on the front.
Yeah.
And leave those other good ones in the back alone.
But because, no, people should definitely rotate their tires every 7 to 10,000 miles, somewhere in there. And even if you forgot or put it off. It's usually never too late.
You know, I think we covered this once before, too, where we made a suggestion to people to turn their tires out every once in a while. Let's say when they park in their driveway or whatever, park in a street.
Yep.
Purposely come home, whatever, turn the tire out.
Right.
And then you could leave it that way.
Right.
You could park that way. But just take a look at both tires.
Right.
And see what the wear is.
Yes. And don't leave it up to the quick lube place you're going to.
Yeah,
see, that's
really
a problem because, you know, there's younger guys working at these places and they know how to change your oil and some various things. But, you know, they may not be paying attention to the fact that your tires are wearing uneven and they're not going to tell you and then you're not going to know. But so it's a very good advice to, like you said, just turn the wheel all the way to one way or the other so that you can get out and actually see what the tire wear looks like all across the tire and not just the outside edge that you would typically see.
I mean, it's no different than when we take the tires off someone's car and now we're rolling them up to the customer saying, look at your tire. And they say, I had no idea it looked that bad. Or steel was coming through, it was so worn out.
Now, based on what we just said, how many people do you think are going to do this tomorrow?
a lot, you know. Maybe one. I think Bill will.
I'm just confused. I thought the wheels already rotated enough just driving down the road.
Yeah, oh, that's a good one, Bill.
I like that, Bill.
Wow.
You know, and it's almost joke time.
Oh, my goodness.
But, I mean, seriously. By the way, the gear I forgot the name of, the Bendex.
The ben, right, yes.
Inside
Frank
the starter.
Called it the starter dog, but
yeah, well,
it's an old term
thing,
for
yeah.
it. Right,
yeah.
Yep.
The Bendix.
Your father would know it as a starter dog, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very old expression for a very old truck.
Yeah.
Yes.
So, Bill, did you hear about the cop that was looking for a criminal with one eye?
Criminal with one eye?
Yes, I told him he'd be better off if he used both eyes.
Looking for a criminal with one eye. That's good.
You know,
Frank's not laughing.
I'd like to laugh. I would. Laughing, they say, is good for the soul. But not this kind of laughter. It's not this kind of joke.
Well,
no, absolutely not.
He well, won't even
I
laugh.
Actually feel like crying.
He right. won't even laugh at us rather than with us.
I keep telling Bill not to encourage him, but he laughs along with him.
So, folks, one more time, we'll give you some contact info. We'd like to hear from you. Our phone number is 732-428-4482. You can even call us with a joke.
Yeah, better than Sal's. Let's have a contest.
The Twin Cams at Comcast.net. That's our email. And please like us on Facebook.
Yes, we are on Facebook.
And on
check
that note,
out.
Another...
There goes another
Radio Gold
formative Riptide Rollers Automotive Radio Show.
Yep. Glad you could have joined us.
Radio Gold, as and, Bill would say. That's got to be an old term, right? Terminology.
Yep.
There.
Solid gold.
I'm sorry to say that our time has now come, and so now you'll have to get on with the rest of your day without us.
Well, go out there, folks, and make it a good weekend.
Yes. Until next time.
Take care.
You've been listening to WBNJ's Riptide Rollers Automotive Show with Twin Cams Intake and Exhaust. If you have a question or a comment to the Twin Cams, visit their website, RiptideRollers.com. Riptide Rollers is hosted and produced by Sal and Frank Santola. Executive producer for WBNJ is Bill Clanton Jr. I'm your announcer, Trip Rogers. Thanks for listening. Tune in next week for Riptide Rollers on air at 91.9 WBNJ and online at WBNJ.org.
The preceding program was meant for entertainment purposes only. The views and opinions of the host and callers are not necessarily that of the staff and management of WBNJ or WWN Educational Radio Corporation. Consult your mechanic before trying any advice given by the Twin Cams, Sal and Frank Santola on Riptide Rollers.